everybody, this is Jeff Roney, and we're going to be talking about New World Army Episode 3. What's really nice about this episode is we actually get out of the main situation then that we're in, and we learn a lot of great information. First, I want to talk about Troy Lund, which really gives a great edge to the character, the medic of the compound, and then we start learning about the compound, and there's a lot of questions there. The leaving the city where things were being destroyed, and the humanoid troops were looking for humans. And so they took this underground waterway. First of all, I don't know that if I asked this before, but you have to ask the question, why was it empty? And why wasn't there any sounds of water when they're running through the pipe? So we know for a fact that the water was poisoned in some of the missions that they discussed before. Qualan Mar, they said that they poisoned the water, and something was going on, and we're not exactly sure. But anyway, the humanoids were, we know that they're bad. We know that there are a lot of destruction going on, a lot of deaths, a lot of killing, and then also the poisoning of the water. So we know that there's certain things as the story evolves that we're going to learn more and more. But anyway, this water line, they go through, and then they come to the end where John appears and gets them out. And now we are up top, and now we are experiencing the compound. So what's really cool is we finally get Sarah out of this type of really tense situation. Aura is fantastic, as well as the rest of the cast. But just in this case, we're talking about Sarah. And Sarah now is out of this really tense situation. We know very little about her, but we do know that she escaped from the humanoid cells and the detention center. And now she's out, and then now she's in this rebel compound. So we start to kind of learn a little more about this. During the explosion, Sarah hurt her head, so she's groggy. And so John runs up and introduces himself. Then we discuss the situation with Trent. So Sarah is very upset based on the fact of Sarah really wanted to rescue Trent. And as I've mentioned before, there's kind of a little romance brewing. She really kind of likes Trent. Trent is kind of her, the yin to her yang, and as things kind of are, thus even thus far, that he is really her equal, and as far as emotionally. And so when Sarah finds out that Trent died in the explosion, that's when she goes toe-to-toe with Karis. Now, Karis at this point has been very on top of everything, but I really, really did want to have a discussion about why Karis decided to blow up the pipe. I'm going to wax philosophical for a little bit. When you discuss something like war and why war is sadly important at some point, there has to be some wars at some point. And that's going to be a running commentary through New World Army, is can you talk your way out of confrontation? Can you? Is it possible to either avoid it or be kind? Can you do that? Is it possible? And so Karis lays it out. Okay, listen, Sarah, did you want a sniper bot with guided missiles coming up top of this area? Did you want them coming into the compound, or did you want me to blow the pipeline with the sniper bot, destroying it, because all that force of all the rocks would be on top of them? So that was the question. And so Sarah goes directly to the connection she has with Trent in it. Trent was in it. How could you do that? So, you know, Karis, you know, what's interesting is Karis really kind of breaks it down. I told him to climb out, you know, and then Sarah sticks up for him. Well, he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure what to do. And that's another thing I like about the script, is Trent is not a black and white kind of a person. he thinks out loud. Obviously, you need to do that for an audio drama, but it was like, you know, they may let us live if we talk. They may let us go, blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of talking it out. And instead of saying, get me out of here, you know, grab my hand. He's like, well, I don't know, you know, this and that. So then Karis introduces this whole opportunity for Sarah to lead the camp. And so Karis offers it to Sarah, and Sarah says, well, why don't you take the position? I mean, you seem to be in the middle of everything, this and that. But you know, Sarah, at first, she plays what I would consider to be the reluctant hero, the Luke Skywalker, who, and this is the scene that I kept going back to in my head, is when Obi-Wan says, you know, I'm getting too old for this kind of thing. And you know, Karis kind of says the same thing. And so, you know, Karis offers it to Sarah, and Sarah says, you know, I what do you mean? I don't know. Why don't you do it? You know, and so that's interesting. A lot of people would do that. You know, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? Instead of saying, you know, I can do it. You know, if you are a person who reads the Bible, you will understand the story about Moses. You know, when God told Moses to rescue, go get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And, you know, Moses said, no, I can't do it because of this, because of this, because of this. And it is a rare thing when a person is offered something very important like that, that they will jump at the chance. Normally people will say, but I'm this, but I can't do this, but I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm underqualified. I'm really not ready for it. Whenever you change, whenever something is called upon you to change, it's never easy. So this whole thing is really going through Sarah's mind in this situation. And then she really pins it on Karis and says, you know, you're a murderer. And then they really start to kind of look at all the different sides of the situation. So, you know, Karis says, who's more important? Trent, the one person, or all of us who are still alive? And I think that's a very interesting question to consider. I think whenever you discuss questions of war, I think it's very important to pose the question and get the feedback. Is the one person more important, or the rest of the people that are at stake? And then we come to what I consider the most fun of episode 3, and probably the most fun character of this part of New World Army, is Lucky. Lucky originally was a boy, and he was going to be played by my nephew, Noah Monk. And Noah has gotten very busy starting a film. He's done some iCarly episodes and just incredible stuff. So I could not use Noah. So I found Aaron through Megan, who is the podcast junkie. She's a podcaster that reviews podcasts. And so Aaron had a very young sounding voice. And so when I first heard it, I said, this is perfect. And so I pitched it to Aaron. Aaron jumped on board. And Lucky is really the kind, compassionate voice of New World Army. And sometimes you hear it in Sarah. But this is such a dark piece. And I want it to be gritty, and I wanted it to be, from my perspective, real. But Lucky is the compassionate voice of the piece. And so, you know, she comes in to check on Sarah, and Sarah gets angry and yells at her and this and that. And I know it's a bit trite, but then when you have a child involved, Sarah's maternal instincts begin to kick in. There's this kind of beginning of taking care, because once we learn that Lucky's mother and father and sister were taken, then we know that Lucky's alone. And so Sarah kind of you know, it's kind of unspoken. It'll kind of play out as it goes forward. But anyway, the question that Sarah has is, well, if your parents were taken and your sister was taken, how come you weren't? So now we learn that Lucky is, in fact, Lucky. How? That's a good question. But then we learn something else that I knew needed to happen, is that there are a lot of different electronic devices in New World Army. And as I've said before, I didn't want to go too wacky crazy. And I do wanted to have words and names that you, as a person that maybe even not a star, a sci-fi fan, that you would understand. So what I wanted to do was connect a phone like with an iPod in your head. And so it's kind of like an iPhone in your head. And I'm not going to give Apple a check for that thought. Anyway, it's called a GovLink mod. And so the GovLink, first of all, should give you the understanding that the government has now crawled inside your head, because this device is in your head. And what it is kind of like a lens that you can start and press on the temple of your head, and it brings this lens down in front of your eyeball, and basically it's within your eye. So it comes down, and then you can track certain things, like perhaps there's one lens for entertainment, or one for work, or one for your family, or one for certain things. Because it's a government link, you cannot get really personal or specific with stuff just for you. There has to be a reason why. So, but the GovLink is, you know, a lot of really interesting things. It can receive in information and also helps you find certain things. And it also helps you, as we'll find later on, drive vehicles. And it also connects to the Volon, personal power, the grid, different things. So there's a lot of things that I want the GovLink to be. And the one thing is that it can be modified, of course. The minute anything is new, some person out there is going to hack it, modify it, and there we go. And so there's this device that you can shove in your ear, which is where one of the ports is. And so you shove it in, and it connects to a device, and it now can be open to receive a hack mod that can change it to do whatever you want to do. So that was the thought about Telophia, is especially now, is it's kind of a Mad Max kind of a, we create our own batteries, we create our own energy, we create our own stuff. Because we haven't really discussed the energy part of it, where it's coming from, how it's designed, blah, 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 this and that. So anyway, just keep in mind, it's more Mad Max and creating it from scratch and all that. So Lucky shows her this mod and shoves it in her ear, sets it up, and shows her how to track somebody, in specific Lucky. So then they go outside and she shows them how to track her, and she asks, how thick do the walls have to be before you can't be seen? Lucky says, we haven't tested all situations, but then they discuss Karis. And so we find now that Karis is playing the Lost Rebel. And so that was just a ploy to run in and act like she was trying to hack in or get the different... the keypad to get in the door in episode one, and then kind of run in like, oh, help me. Oh, they're coming. Da, da, da. That's just a ploy to see if, you know, what side they're on. And then we meet another great part of this compound is Liza. And Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard is a great friend of mine who is involved with some great productions at imaginationlane.net. She does some Laura Bond, James Bond's sister, very, very cool, interesting stuff. So Gwendolyn, joined our cast to play Liza, the cook. And so, sadly, when I created these characters, there's Liza the cook, John the, you know, John the doctor, whatever. But they will have more story as things go forward. And I think it's funny, too, that Liza is cooking boiled weeds and whatever we trapped yesterday, stew. And then Lucky just says, just close your eyes when you take the first bite and it'll be fine. Then Karis takes Sarah to a hill. Now, this is very important because normally when people go on hills, it's something important is going to happen, whether it's Moses and the Ten Commandments. You know, there's certain important things that happen when people go to a hill. They receive something, they see something, whatever. So I wanted Karis to take Sarah to this hill. And so on this hill, Sarah could see the Capitol. And then Karis says that, well, the satellite signals get fuzzy. And so that's another thing that's important, and we'll see it played out, is when the satellite signals are clear, that's when the humanoids, the grid, everything is locatable. But when the satellite signals get fuzzy, which is different than a blind spot. Blind spot is open season. You're just not seen. But when it gets fuzzy, that's when it gets kind of, did I see something? Did I hear something? And that'll play out as we move forward too. So Karis basically on this hill offers Sarah again the opportunity. She says, you're special and you don't know it, but you are. Your path has been set long before you now, and I want you to take the next step. So she's again is offering the leadership of the rebels against the humanoids. And so that is how this begins, is Sarah now is in a situation where she is being offered this, and Karis is telling her that this is, you know, the perfect spot, and, you know, we can survive here, but we also need to, you know, strike and take out the humanoids, but it has to be you. You have to be our leader. And so Sarah says, you know, okay, well, I don't know, maybe, but do you have any tanks or ships? And so Kara says, funny you should mention that. Let me show you what we've been building. So there's a lot of information here, and I certainly realize that these are short little episodes as far as length, but there's a lot of information in here, and that's why I wanted to try to do some commentary so that you would understand the backstory behind it, maybe highlight some things that maybe you missed or things that I just kind of inferred in it. So anyway, this is the end of Episode 3 commentary for A New World Army, Episode 3 Choices. This is Jeff Roney. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. See ya. Bye.